Remember what we learnt last time.
And they did it away Sunday night, and I wish you on a white boat.
Let's read now about the Holy Kolakov. The person who is bedridden, he's confined to bed, or he's shrunk. It's not a serious illness, I mean, it's not life threatening, and it's not mummish, as far as able we can see, but he's uncomfortable. So we said this person is allowed, Moishi, to do an Isidra Bonon. If he can do it with a shinner, he's better do it with a shinner. So the Marshal, let's say, for example, he needs his tablets from his next door neighbour, and the next door neighbour's got tablets, he hasn't got any. So he's allowed to carry it in the street. There's no area in the town, so he's allowed to carry it under his hat, in between his shirt and his shoe. Various ways of carrying things which are not normal way of doing things. Another hetzer that's allowed is that a person is allowed to ask a goy to do any malacha whatsoever. For chole kalakuf, you can ask to do an isra rice actually. Yeah, so now it's very, very cold. Actually, now probably most people actually will be very, very cold. Now, this is a good example. You could actually ask a goy probably to actually put a heat on. Weather like this, like Moshe says, is very, very cold. People recover ill from it. In such a case there, every person has heter of Chole Kolakov. Even the Shulchan Aruch says, only this heter of Chole Kolakov, of the heating, only works in the case of where a person is, what do you call it, is very, very cold. If it's just averagely cold, you can't put the heating on. If you've got little children in the house or older people in the house, then maybe you can make up. But otherwise, you can't make up. Now, cold like this, Moshe's right, then you could do Lechore, you can put the heating on like normal. I want to finish off, I've got to go a few things before we start the next section. And that is, Lechore Kolakov is allowed to take his temperature on Shabbos. It's important to note, as I'll say, that normally you mustn't measure on Shabbos. Medida is also on Shabbos, but Medida Shal Mitzvah is Mutter. To know if you've got temperature, it's called a Medida Shal Mitzvah, and you're allowed to take the temperature. Ideally, one should use the old-fashioned thermometers, the mercury ones. It's not like the only issue that's doing there is measuring. That issue of measuring is Mutter on Shabbos. What? Yeah, the other ones which are coloured, that's much more problematic. The other ones are coloured, they change colour to red when you're in very high temperature, or they've got different settings. That is much more of a problem. Not one which lights up. Don't go, we're going to talk about Chole Kolakov, it's not seriously ill. So you can't do these assuring of survey or case of the Chore, even case of. Even if it's this one, it's not everlasting, this crazy. It comes out, it might come up, what's written on it, might come out 38, let's say, for example. But it doesn't last long. It's an Issa Drabonon, really, that's also Mutter. It's an Issa Drabonon. Unless electric's worse, maybe. You're making a circuit. Maybe that's worse, you're making circuits there. In order to make it light up, besides the Issa Kosev, it could be like the Chazon Ish doing a Dreiser, maybe. So the Maase, one shouldn't use the ones with circuits in the Chayrim. He's right, Moshe. You can get a goy to take some of his temperature. That's no problem. Like you said, you can ask a goy to do an Issa Rice if you mummish. So you can ask a goy to take the temperature. That's no problem, Doug. He's quite right. If that's what we're talking about, come to mummish later. Then you've got winding up a clock. So they're all old fashioned clocks. You haven't really got these anymore nowadays. But much like old fashioned clocks, you want to wind up a clock on Shabbos. So if the clock is working already and you want to wind it up further, that's the mice. You shouldn't really do it normally, but for a chole who needs to know the time, he needs to take his tablets, for example. He's in a room, he's in bed, he can't get up, and the only watch you've got there is a wind up clock. And the mice are scared to run out. So you're allowed to wind up the clock on Shabbos if that's what he needs for his refuah to know what time to take the tablets. Now the next thing you ask is also very interesting actually. I'm not sure if you're asking about giving an injection on Shabbos. Now we're talking about an injection, or just giving medicine with a syringe. That's the same as taking it to swallowing it.
No. You have to give a measure on it.
That's Medisha Mitzvah. Or if we said at the beginning when we started, that taking a temperature for a chole is a Medisha Mitzvah. Yeah, that's Mutter. Who has it to measure out what you need for a chole is also Mutter. Even better than so you don't, it's not mummy, you don't even need it to be exact, but I need a rough idea. So that's Mutter, that's a good point, that's Mutter to do. That Medina is Mutter to do. The other one is very interesting, Shia now, is that is the Moshul. Can you give an injection to someone on Shabbos? Well, let's say someone needs some medicine on Shabbos, he needs it into the goof, has to go into the bottom. So there are boys, the possible people, well, what is there involved in making a, what do you call it, an injection on Shabbos? Some possible holding, Moshe wants to suggest that the problem could be in making a Pesach. You're making a hole in the bottom. You can't make a pass out of the mice. The moisture, that's not a problem. It's only made to make the injection go in. What? Oh, it's only making a pesach to go in. That is not problematic. It's not a asiyat pesach. It's only isra bona, which is mukha for chayla. What you ask is a good point as well. What about dump coming out? Blood coming out? Actually, it's interesting. I just had my vaccine done not so long ago. I can't remember. So I asked if any blood came out. She said to me, no blood comes out, actually. Because that goes in the muscle. That's right. So that's different. That goes in the muscle. But the when it goes in an artery, in a vein, or an artery, the chayr, that's much worse. But even so, the poskim say it's not psik ratio that come out of the dam. It's a chiddush. I must say it's a chiddush, because I would have thought normally something does come out. The mice, the poskim take on, it's not called a psik ratio. Even in the vein of the artery, it's a chiddush that the chayr. If you normally make a little hole in your vein or artery, you're going to get some dam coming out. But the mice, the poskim, many poskim say it's called it's not a psik ratio, and therefore it is mutter, mitzad that. And it's a refuah. But for a chayr, you can take refuah. So really, the only thing is it's mutter. The only thing is, like we said last time, that whenever you get a goy to do something for a yid, for a chole kodakum, it's much better. So even get a non-Jew to give them the injection, whatever it is, that's certainly better. Sorry? No, that's much worse. That's quite right, what he's asking. So we're talking about over here where you're putting medicine into a guf. If a person needs a blood test on Shabbos, that the chayr is much worse, yeah, because there you want the blood. That's a machlok hatzricha b'gufa. That's a machlok sheichet. So if a person is a chayr, they obviously really, if a non-Jew does it, it's no problem. For a chayr kalakuf, a non-Jew can do it. But for if he's not a chayr, for him to do it himself, that's much worse. Also, another interesting shayla to speak about is, can you assemble the syringe on Shabbos? We talked about this a while ago, actually. Can you assemble a syringe on Shabbos? Yes, yeah, very likely it's makapah. What was she?
Why can't
you
send the people?
What kind of what?
You're talking about sending. Why can't you send with people?
What happened with some? No, I was about the syringe. Can you put the syringe together? Can you put the syringe? Can you make the syringe on Shabbos? So many possible holes are Shabbos and the rice that's to do on Shabbos. So, the best in such a case is to do it before Shabbos, to assemble it before Shabbos. And then, if one needs to do what one needs to do, if one has to do it, then one should do that. That's what one's allowed to do. Okay, everybody said. That is more or less the in the halachas of Chole Kol HaGuf. Let's move on to the next section. The next level is Takonas Eiver. That's a danger to a limb. Now, again, I must tell you this, everybody said. Many times a person, let's say someone's got a bad eye, someone's got a bruised eye. Now, often you can't know is it Takonas HaFoshet or not. It's very bad. I had once, many years ago, I had actually with one of my children, actually, there were, what's it called, these things they threw in the air, the diablo, I think it was called. So I remember many years ago, one of my children was playing the diablo in school, and they got stuck in the tree. She was very upset. So as a good dad that I was, I decided I'm going to try and retrieve it for him. So I had spare time on Friday afternoon. So I worked Friday afternoon, we're throwing brooms up there, anyway, at the end of the day, we got it down. But, in the course of the event, what happened was, something got thrown out, and it came down and hit his eye. Well, actually, it was fine. Of course, like it normally happens, on Friday night, after davening, you can kind of Shabbos already, it starts flaring up. I can't remember what it was, actually. Anyway, I said it flared up. So I went to someone who's supposed to know what's going on. He said to me, he doesn't know, but he thinks it's a Takonas HaFoshet. He said to me, it can be very dangerous. I should go to the higher place. You know, what's it called? That Royal Eye Hospital.
Royal Eye Hospital.
He said, you should say, go by a taxi, wherever, and you should see what's going on. It can be a danger to the limb. It can be a danger. I can't remember if it was a danger to the limb or was it a danger to the actual body. I think it was a danger to the limb. It can be a loss of eyesight. So he told me I should go. Pulled, I happened to know someone who was coming out of a shul, who was an optician, and I went to ask him. And he said there was no problem, actually. He said, there's no problem at all, it's okay. But again, but that's what I want to point out. No, I don't have to go, he said to me. It's only if it flares up much worse, he said to me, then you have to worry about it. As it is now, he said, it's not a problem. Now, all I want to point out with that is that that first person wasn't wrong, actually. That's what I want to point out. The first person who said to me, I should go to the Royal Eye Hospital, is in his expertise. He doesn't know much. He's not an eye specialist, yeah? He doesn't know much. And that's what most of us are like. When we don't know what's going on, then we have to worry. It could be a danger. So I don't know what was that cost of force. I mean, he told me I think to go by taxi. So this is the goal he's doing everything. I'm not doing anything, yeah? It's the, what?
He was a dog, yes, the first one.
Was a dog, actually, there was someone else. Someone in the military, a medical profession.
He's really a
doctor,
then.
I guess so, someone like that. Someone like that. Someone should be in a medical profession, but not everyone knows. You can't know. I mean, yeah. Generally, a Rob normally would tell you that. I know someone's told me, I don't know if I told this to you, someone told me that before. Interesting thing, someone told me before Tisha B'Av, he had a shiny, he had a very bad ear. Well, he did exactly that, actually. So he said to me, he went to the doctor. The doctor said, we've got to take antibiotics now. It's crucial. He said, if you don't take antibiotics now, it's very dangerous. He said, I'm telling you, you've got to break your fast from Tisha B'Av because you have to eat. You can't take antibiotics on an empty stomach. Switch it off a bit, so I'm still going to be dying. So he said, okay. So he went to a Rav.
Continuation of End of Day with Toway, Sunday night, Corruption and Wise Blog.
The thing is, all I want to point out with this is that generally speaking, often we as laymen don't know what's going on. Again, it's very important, Rabbi, if there's any danger, first of all, to life is no shy, yeah? There's no question at all, got any danger to life. I mean, I was once by Diane, and I don't forget, on Sunday morning, I was by him, and he was very upset. Who's standing? Oh, I was like, that can't happen. Oh, is she? So he said, someone came to me on Friday night. We were Shaila Pikuach. And I said, can I be Machal Shabbos? He said, I can't stand it. How could someone come to ask a Shaila to me when he could be Machal Shabbos? He was way upset. He said, this should not happen, he said to me. This should not be happening. A person must know who's got any sophic whatsoever. Mummy, you have to be Machal Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with Machal Shabbos. It's your mitzvah. What?
You should ask it yourself.
To be Machal Shabbos? What do you mean, fast? What do you mean, fast? What?
Is somebody going to stop it when he's allowed to be Machal Shabbos or not?
Well, he's got an illness, which he thinks might be serious.
It might be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He should ask himself whether he's allowed to be Machal Shabbos or not.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's something, there's something.
I'm not sure
I'm talking about 50. Yes, 50%.
Yeah. Definitely, if someone's got that. Someone's got a pain in his heart. I remember, as far as I remember, that when Hapsoda started, as far as I remember, I was many years ago, as far as I remember how it started was, as far as I remember, was someone in a certain place in the world, he had a pain in his heart on Shabbos, pain in his chest. He said to his wife, well, what should we do if we go to the hospital? What should we do? So I said, look, we don't even have Shabbos yet. Can you think, wait? He said, look, it's not too bad. He said, it's not too bad. Let's wait. Unfortunately, never made it. He said, it's an interesting one. If someone's got such a thing like that, it's a good example. Someone's got a pain in the place where it could be serious. Then no one can know. It could be a heartburn. It could be nothing. I don't know what a heartburn is, but I'm saying it could be.
Pain in the ear.
A pain in the ear is generally not dangerous, but if it's swelling, that is a sign that's much worse. So here now we move on to Sakonas Eva. Now Sakonas Eva is a very interesting material. It's not Sakonas the Foshus, but as the Moses are here, there's a danger that a person might lose this limb or organ. That means, for example, someone's got a finger that's never been cut slightly, and I'm sorry, I feel also very squeamish when I speak about these things, but it's been severed, and the mice, if it's not repaired straight away or as quickly as possible, there's a danger that the finger will not be the same. In fact, not only that, besides you might lose the finger completely, but even if it won't move the same way as it normally did, you lose the flexibility it did. That is called Sakonas Eva. That's the loss of a limb process. A person will not be able to have the use of the limb like normal. A person's got certain head tail. We'll see what the head tail are. Another example is what I wrote on the board. I never knew what this was. I must tell you this. What's it called again? This Volkmann's contracture. It's a very interesting thing, actually, what it is. It is when a plaster of Paris is put on a person and it's too tight. They put it on, what? There's no air. No, it's too tight. It's left like that. There's a very big danger that in such a case, when after it's taken off, that limb has been damaged and it's only moved, doesn't move properly. That's the Sakonas Eva. I don't know why it's got that name. There must be some doctor who discovered this. I don't know what it's called. It's a very sort of thing. It was called Volkmann's contracture. So the plug. What?
What's that mean?
I don't know what it means, actually. It must be a name or somewhere. But it's what happens is the limb has been contracted away. But I don't know what happens. It's been too tight to put on. I remember someone had that. I didn't know this was so serious, actually. But I think, first of all, now I think they tried to avoid this plaster of Paris. I think very often they try to avoid this plaster of Paris and they use other things. But in the case of where they're using this, and there's a danger, it's too tight, a person feels very, very tight, he's not sure whether it's right, that is called Sakonas Eva. who had an eardrum which has been damaged and it's blowing up, it's swelling a lot. That's a danger of some very serious damage going on there, or liquid that's coming out of the ear. There's a serious danger of the eardrum being ruptured. It's a serious danger, I think. That is Sakonas Ava. Now, what can you do for Sakonas Ava? What's their theory of Sakonas Ava? So, Sakonas Ava moves up a step. All drabonons are mutter in this case. If you remember, we spoke about Chodakodakuf, we said all drabonons are mutter with the Shinri, but except for a melacha kalahiyat, that means you can't do a melacha in abnormal way, and a melacha shen shukhalukufa. That means a person, for example, needs to blow a candle out in the room because the person needs to sleep. You can't do a Chodakodakuf. For a Sakonas Ava, that's allowed. That means, someone's got a danger of his hand, his fingers, his cut, the danger of losing a limb. If he can get a call, obviously, that's the best thing to do. But very often, time is of the essence. You're allowed to phone with a shinui. Now, in the old days, I'm not sure if I remember, we spoke about this once before. In the old days, they're always advised, how do you phone with a shinui? What you do is you knock off the receiver with your elbow, you dial with your little finger, let's say, the buttons, you speak, obviously, and then when you finish, you put the phone back with a shinui. But that's how it used to be always. That's how it used to be always. That Lochus Roman in the olden times always used to write that you put the phone back with a shinui. I remember I spoke to my father, he said to me that the problem was in those times that if you didn't put the phone back, it cut off the line. Now this happens a lot of times. Every time you need phones, the line gets cut off. It's terrible. Lashem is no good. The question is, I come up what happens nowadays. I think Lemay, I don't know what happens nowadays. I should really find out. We spoke about what we did in Mavi, I think. I can't remember what came out. But still, in today's world, I would have thought it cuts off by itself, the line. But I don't know. So if that's the case, that it cuts off by itself, then you can't put the phone back. But if it doesn't cut off by itself, then you can't put the phone back. So I don't know what this is. I'm saying, and the old apostle always used to mention this idea of always putting the phone back with a shinui. So again, you have to phone, you phone with a shinui. You knock the receiver off with your elbow, you dial with your little finger, you take a little spoon, you dial the digits like that. That's okay. With a mobile phone, it's a bit more complicated, I think. I have to put it on with a shinui, the mobile phone. And then you dial with your little finger or a little spoon, something like that. Also the same thing. I'm not sure what happens to the mobile phone if you don't connect it back again. Does it stay? Yes, there's
some
problems. So that I don't know. Okay, wait, so we'll stop there.
How do you put the receiver on the shinui?
In between your fingers, let's say.
Are we on?
Yeah, hopefully.